All right.
And I think it's recording. Do you have anything on your screen indicating that it's recording? Should say recording in the upper left or upper right.
I guess, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Here we go. So the day is April the 17th, and it is 1:45 Eastern Standard Time and 10:45 Pacific Time. Why don't you introduce yourself, give us your name, and go ahead and spell it, if you would, for the transcriber.
My name is David Mavro, David, M as in Mary, A, V as in Victor, R-O.
Okay, great, and my name is Andy Townsend. I am in Indianapolis at the moment. David, where are you? David, where are you?
Now? I'm on this space station. It keeps freezing. I'm in Manhattan Beach, California.
Okay.
Outside Los Angeles.
Great. So, what are you doing now on a day-to-day basis? How do you fill your day?
Well, I am going through my archives of 20 years of footage. I've gone as far back as 91, I think. That's farther than that. And just editing a few things together from that footage I've digitized and either putting it up on YouTube that I've always wanted to do or sending it to the people in the videos if I have clips of them from back in the day, because that's where my whole career started, and I've always wanted to do that, because without those guys, I wouldn't have the practice.
And what is it that you do?
I'm a video producer. I own a small video production company, and we do everything from simple one-man shoots to full-on commercial shoots.
Okay.
And that's post-production and as well.
So you're catching up on some work projects that you've been wanting to do for a long time, and now you don't have any excuse to avoid them, right?
Yeah. They're more personal. It's more like I always held a camera, and I'm just lucky that I got to do it for a living. So there's some stuff from back in the day where now the editing software is so great, going through high eight, like four NTSC, mini DVs and stuff is cake right now. It's just so fun to just cut through it really fast and send it off almost by iPhone. A lot of times just through the iPhone. But anyway, I digress.
Well, you don't fill your day completely with that. What else do you do? How are you getting exercise, or are you? Do you live with anybody?
My lady is a,
David seems to have frozen. All right, here we go.
Ah.
All right, so we got interrupted there, and we're starting. I'm going to pick up right where we left off. So the last thing I asked you was, in addition to working on your video projects, what other kind of things do you do to occupy your day?
Well, I've been kind of the same thing. It's I have last year was I wasn't able to focus on my library and keeping it in order. And I get from that in a year before, really 2 years. So I have 100 terabytes of things that needed to be put in order. And that's like just archiving, really. And yeah, being my own librarian, I guess it's very satisfying to have the time to do it, but it takes time. And that's that.
Yeah. I feel you. So, yeah. Over there in Manhattan Beach, are you able to like get out of the house? What are your, you know, is there anything going on in the community? What's it like in your community? How are they responding to the corona pandemic?
Well, we're very fortunate in the place. I've been living here almost 10 years. This place is very isolated, as far as the rest of the neighbors. But we have two balconies where we're like on the second floor, and we can yell at people, or people can come over and we can talk to them if they come by, and it's nice and airy. That's where we live. The community itself is a weird one because it seems like we're a little biased here, but it seems like the people with the more, it's a very affluent Manhattan Beach now, and we are not by any means close to as affluent. Even if we were affluent, we wouldn't look affluent next to the people here. And it seems like the more money they have, the less they care about social distancing or just being respectful. Like, you know, just they're very loose about it. So they had to shut down. We have a really popular beach strand and bike path and beach for that matter. And they had to shut it all down because nobody was paying attention to it. And so everybody was just gathering. So they finally shut it down. There's a lot of upset locals. They're like, this is not fair. And then there's people maybe like us. They're like, it's not fair if you get us sick when you're, you know. My landlord, for instance, just knocked on my door and I didn't know it was him and asked me the most trivial question. I'm like, hey man, you're not wearing a mask. Get back, you know, like right up here with me. But I don't know if that answers your question, but it just seems like everything's closed. You can go to the coffee shops, but the coffee is served at the door, types of things like that. But then the people tend to congregate and get close, and it's like, I'm not going out like that for a coffee.
So if I understand you correctly, what you're saying is that people in your neighborhood will still go out into public. There are some places that they can't go because they've been closed down. But you're concerned mm-hmm. because they're still talking to each other too close and congregating and socializing in that way. I don't want to put words in your mouth. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, there's plenty of congregating going on. A lot of the younger people here, and actually it seems like a lot of the old money here are just like, we've been through way worse than this. Why are we being shut down, you know? I don't think it's really affected people. Maybe it hasn't affected people here as badly. The thing about Los Angeles is it's so spread out. It's so, spread out. And for instance, my girlfriend who's from New Jersey, and you know, we're on the East Coast all the time. Those places have been hit really hard because it's dense. And I know a couple people, but they were working in New York. And so they recovered, but it was like, they have no idea how they got it, you know? And we know how it went for them, and it was not cool, to say the least.
How would you describe the attitude of the people? Maybe attitude's not the right word. The political leanings that they have. What I'm wondering, without trying to frame this question in such a way that leads you to anything, is how would you describe the, you know, the neighborhood in terms of conservative versus liberal, or do you have any opinion of that? Are people in your neighborhood more, are there more Democrats, more Republicans? How do they lean? Do you find any connection to that with their wealth and their attitude towards the corona? That's where I'm going.
Yeah. It's pretty conservative out here. Republican leaning, probably. We live in Los Angeles County. Orange County is just south of us, and it's much more Republican. But I feel like it's 50-50 here. It just seems like the Republicans are probably 60-40 Republican. It just seems like the conservatives that are here are a little more, this is just just my thoughts on it, but a little bit more arrogant because they can be. They don't have to worry about it, so, you know, it's a weird space here because it doesn't feel like real life when you're here. It's like a weird bubble. I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's where I was going. Can you, if you can, try to think back to when you first became aware of the COVID-19 virus, and think about how did you learn about it? What was your feeling towards it? And how did that change over time for you?
First learned about it in, I think, beginning of February, if I recall correctly. And then the way it spread in China, the way I was reading it, it rang a bell from the past, the SARS and the things like that, but more from history and more from the warnings that I've read about in the past 6 years. And it just seemed like if China has resources and every place around there, and if they can't shut it down fast, there's something up. And if they've got that dense of population and they couldn't handle it, then in our current state right now, where we seem to be in a bit of a gap as far as organizational, even the State Department overseas, it was worrying. Nobody's ready for that here, and the economy's kind of fluffed up already, and definitely the infrastructure for our healthcare system is terrible on a first-hand basis. So I luckily my lady feels the same way, much more vigilantly actually, and she's put a kibosh on everything real fast. So she's I don't know if I answered it, if I went through the whole thing. But yeah, that's February, and then just from, you know, I like to overanalyze things, I like to think I do, and it just seemed like watching the progression of it over there was not a good model for the rest of us. Didn't look good for us if, you know, you don't take care of things quickly like we've seen maybe the smaller countries around China did. So even Thailand, Vietnam, like, had a much better handle on it.
What issues have most concerned you about the pandemic? What keeps you up at night?
What might be holding, what might be safe to touch? That's scary. That's about it. And then, you know, you don't want to catch that. And on the other side, income, you don't want to go broke. And then I'll do three. And then on the other side is like human nature. And I've seen glimpses of this, a little bit of just going, even going out, like when people say there's no traffic or whatever, it's everybody's staying home. It is much lighter, but it seems like to us that people are more on edge and making mistakes, like driving, or especially driving, where they're going too fast or they're not looking where they're going, because everybody's a little bit on edge, a lot more on edge than usual. So those three things, I think, catching it, income, and just screwing up on something else that'll get you in the hospital.
So speaking of income, let's transition a little bit. How has COVID affected your job, and how?
Oh, it's completely stopped everything. If I wanted, there's because everything I do is out in the, I either travel to go there, which is an airplane, and then on top of that, I'm always with a person, like one-on-one at least, or one-on-10 with a camera. So that stuff's not happening. And that's fine right now, but that's my job. And I could very well start editing if I need to. But that's the only thing I'm seeing my friends do that's actually needed.
How many gigs would you say you've lost so far? How many jobs do you think you've maybe lost so far that you know?
Let's see, average I have one a month, or one that lasts 2 months. So I'm gonna, man, we finished a job right at the end of this thing. It's so close. Yeah, I probably lost. Still, I know I've lost. I can count them. 5.
Wow. Yeah. Now you pretty much work for yourself, right? So your employment status hasn't really changed much, right?
What was the status?
Yeah, I mean, your employment status is the same because you work for yourself, you know, right?
Yeah, I'm contracted, so yeah, it's the same. I would say unemployed, but I don't think that's technically correct.
Well, how many, like, you have people that you probably hire to do your jobs. How has it affected them?
Well, the last shoot I was on, my production company produced, I still owe 3 people money because I'm waiting for money from the bigger company that hired me.
Yeah.
And so they're being very patient, you know, but it's affecting them because I owe, you know, one guy $1,500, another guy $3.
Yeah.
And that's not fun to see in your bank account and be like, I can't keep that. You know, so, but it's, you don't think about that when it's a day to day. It's like, that's my budget, sending it out. Oh, there's nothing coming in, man. You know, so, but those guys, there's nothing coming in for them. They got kids. They got, same deal, man. And they got less, they've had less work for me. So can't wait to take care of that. But if that's how it's affecting them, like they're not getting paid. They're getting treated worse too, because a few friends were on productions that just ceased paying, period. So, like Netflix did that all the way around for all of their productions.
Really?
Yeah. So,
how are things within your household with your lady and so forth? And has this really affected how you guys go through your day-to-day stuff? I mean, in terms of within your house?
A lawsuit household. How does this affect your household?
Yeah, like, I mean, in some households, people are actually trying to social distance between husband and wife, you know, things like that. My household hasn't changed at all because I live alone, except I have a lot more toilet paper and water stacked up in the corner.
Yeah.
Is it the same for you?
Yeah, pretty much. We're like me and her, like one unit. So we know exactly where we've been before this. So we, as long as we know we're together, we're not, we're okay. But we, you know, I just made a trip to the grocery store yesterday morning, which I haven't gone into one, and I tried to go in one a week ago and it was just too sketchy, too many people bouncing into each other. So I finally grabbed like two, they had plenty of toilet paper and no alcohol. So I grabbed that alcohol, like as in cleaning alcohol. So I was able to grab that yesterday. So really that was the biggest concern, that we were about to run out of toilet paper and we were kind of being lazy about it. Now we got it. We order our food. We've been cooking together. She's a great cook and I'm a great reheater. So we're doing good, actually. It's a little stressful being around each other all the time, but we are really weirdly glued at the hip already, so I think we're more prepared for this than a lot of couples.
What about how it's affected the way you interact with friends and family?
Yeah, that's part of the video thing too. I just want to make sure and have time to, now that I have time to do it, to reach out to people I haven't spoken to in a while, but not just a hey, but like, hey, I've had this shot of you or this footage of you. So it's a nice excuse to do that.
Yeah.
And I feel like people are more, for the most part, warmer now. There's a few people that really, you can almost watch them on social media deteriorate, but they're, they close off, and it's, you gotta watch out for those people, because they just say hi. You know, like I tend to do that on a normal day, so, but when I see other people do it, I feel like I can see it quicker. And I'm like, oh, you're doing what I do, but it's not right. It's not like you at all.
What do you think, like, can you nail down what, like, the biggest change or challenge has been for you?
At home?
Yeah.
Making sure I get up and do something else. You know, like, because I'll be sitting there on a laptop, and luckily my roommate is very cool with it, and she likes to hear it. She says she likes it because she likes to hear me laugh and stuff, but I mean, I'll get locked into that, and it's not good for my brain, and it's not good for us, and I just have to make sure and get up and do something else. So that's, I have a tendency to lock into things and block everything out, and that's the thing I got to watch out for. I think that answers.
Yeah, no, that's good. What are you doing anything different in terms of like recreational activities? I mean, have you guys started a puzzle or anything to pass the time? You were an athlete. I mean, what are you doing to exercise, you know? I said, as a former athlete, you must be, you know, used to exercising, and how has that changed for you? What are you doing? You got a stationary bike? What are you up to?
No, we go out late at night. Almost every night we go, she doesn't run much less than 5 miles at a clip, so I go ride with her on my bike. And, so that's, at least I'm getting that exercise. Sometimes we've got like a empty garage parking below us, and I can, fiddle around on my bike down there, but I haven't been doing that enough. We've been playing push-up games. Say if you're watching something and someone says, Democrat, you have to do 10 push-ups, something like that. or, I couldn't do that.
That's a healthy alternative to what college students do, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, but yeah, a lot of reading, really. That's the other thing I've been doing besides editing, really, is reading. So, and just keeping in contact with my two half brothers we've become much closer over the years, but we're so far apart. One's in Thailand, the other one's in St. Petersburg, Florida. But we get on our group WhatsApps, and that has nothing to do with physical activity. But what I'm saying is not much. We would like to do more.
Right. How do you think that, have you noticed the way people around you are responding? I mean, you mentioned it a little bit, I guess. You said some people are closing down, some people aren't worried about it. Any other thoughts of how people are responding or how maybe other people's views have evolved in the last, month or two?
Oh, yeah. We've watched people go from blowing it off to full on, taking it very seriously. So that's good. And I feel like we do have a large medical population that's in the medical field here. And I think that has a lot to do with it, that people started off a little slow with it. Maybe not the medicals, but the locals. And then sure enough, after you start seeing the numbers and people started hearing about things around here or just in LA or you have friends back east, then you're like, yeah, let's take this seriously. So
are people in your neighborhood wearing masks?
Yes. Almost everybody now, save my landlords and a few other people, but yeah, and then you see some, it's probably 75% though. It's good now.
Do you know of anybody who's gotten
sick? We'll see how that holds up. I feel like, I do, yeah. One, not so close anymore, but the other one I worked with every day for 10 years, and he was working in New York. And casually brought it up on his social media. He's on a private account. Like, whoa. But it was rough. He didn't have to get on a ventilator, but he was down for the count for, oh man, a month, I guess.
Yeah.
Very, very bad.
That's exactly my situation, that my close friend, my business partner, the guy I do most of my stuff with, he came down with it. Like 4 days after we did a shoot, he told me he was sick, which freaked me out. And then it took him about a month before he recovered. He was in a bad way. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah, he still hasn't got his taste back yet.
Wow.
Crazy.
Yeah. That's the problem. People will think a month. It's hard to say it like that because they say it's a month and that's like, well, yeah, that's how long the flu took or, bad cold or. Bronchial infection, something like that, but it's much worse than that.
What's been your primary
source? I think people.
Go ahead, finish your thought.
It would help if people actually saw. People need to see before they can believe, and I think if people see what it does to you, then it would help people. That's all. What?
I was gonna ask. Where are you getting your news?
The Google, I'll search, and then I'll get it the hell away from what it says. It might think I want to see, because then I'm just staying in a bubble. So CNN, though, because, man, everybody's so all over the place, but CNN... NBC, although sometimes they go a little bit overboard. I just, someplace where I can get clean facts, you know, like just, and then I've got my own views on things. I don't need anybody to push me. But I just want to start off from a baseline that's like just the facts. So a lot of times that's CNN, and I've been watching after the facts, you know, like some of the live briefings, just so I stay in tune with what people are seeing, you know what I mean? So when the president is saying things, I want to hear it through my ears and then try to hear it through their ears. And I just trying to take the most raw thing so people, I understand where people are coming from, because it's tough. Because not everybody's going to think, you know, everybody's different, as they say. So I'm just trying to find the most clean thing and then work from that and then see how people are reacting. And that, a lot of times that's Twitter too, which is a scary place if you don't.
Yeah. Well, are there any issues that you think are important that aren't being covered well? Or do you notice that one news source is covering something completely differently than another that you find odd?
I think overall the problem I see is the constant distractions. Oh, lost you.
Yeah, like what, for example?
Okay, yeah. So I don't know if I lost you, but on a right-leaning side or left-leaning side, if they tend to get caught up in distractions, you know, these, whether, you know, the president's saying he's a, like today, liberate Minnesota, liberate all this stuff, and it's like, it's disappointing to have to, that they give that any credence, and they're not catching the fact that we do need modern healthcare, and to chase that and to not get caught up in. I just see a lot of things, a lot of tripping over little things that don't matter. Thinking a lot of people coming in and thinking they're going to change things like that when it needs to start from the bottom. So when these things come in and, you know, distract you, whether it's the president or the Democratic side saying, trying to get their nominee, it's, you're forgetting like that it's a country, we're all in this together, supposedly. So we need to bring that back. That's what bugs me.
I'm curious to know how you think that government leaders or, you know, local municipal leaders, how you think that they're doing. Like, let's start, since you brought up the president, let's start at the federal level and compare that to how local leaders are handling it in your eyes.
At the top, I haven't been able to take him seriously as a human, so I can't. But I tried my darndest not to listen to him, because I feel like it's a little bit, just hearing the voice will drive me crazy.
Just to be clear, you are talking about President Trump, correct?
Yeah, that's President Trump. It's just, let's, putting it simply, he's not a very good communicator. I can't listen to him. But the what's interesting about this whole thing is our, let's just stay with California, and then my lady's from the New Jersey, New York region. So listening to their leaders is, it's been great. California, our, you know, and then our mayor in LA even has been very, very good and very what you want in a leader, like very direct and just makes you feel like there's somebody in charge, you know, and they're taking blame if they have to, and they're telling, you know, everybody's going to make a mistake, and it's, there's definitely mistakes made where this did not have to blow up, and it's, they're seeing those mistakes that other people made or they made themselves, and they're saying that's not working, so we're going to do this, and you guys need to help, and let's do this together. As opposed from the top end with the president, where you're just hearing a lot of, there's somebody else, I'm stuck with this. That's what it feels like. It's a broken record. So you're like, that's not helping us, man. So
do you find this experience transformative in any way? Do you think you'll be transformed, or, and then do you think other people, the community, will be transformed? For example, people are talking about, hey, you know, let's stop shaking hands as part of our cultural greeting. You know, that would be a transformative change, you know, for Americans. Are there any transformative things that you think you're going to take away after this blows over?
But were you saying, people are saying, let's stop what? You cut off right there.
Shaking hands.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's interesting. The first few times that happened when it started, from people that stopped me from doing it. And that made me think like, oh man, you're right. And that's great because, because I don't think that's coming back. It's not for me. Not until we can prove it. I've had plenty of handshakes. I can do without them for a while. So I think it is transformative, and that people will take their well-being and other people's well-being more seriously. But my fear is, weirdly, if this, well, it'll fix itself, won't it? If it ends too soon, then people are going to forget like they always do, and we're going to be there again. But I think what I'm afraid of, what's different with this, is people are going to let up and ease up, and it's going to come right back. And then, unfortunately, that's the way they're going to remember it. That's what's going to transform people. Right now, I think it's like novel. It's like, you know, a lot of people are saying, woe is me, a little bit, because they don't know what's happened to someone else. But until it hits them twice, I feel like it's transformative for me, but I don't know about the rest of the people. I hope so. But I think it's going to take a 1-2 punch.
Is there anything else that maybe you want to say that I didn't touch on? On how this pandemic has affected you and the people around you?
No, it's very idealistic, but I just hope it helps people to think about other people's situations before thinking about their own. Try to open some people's minds up. You're not going to get everybody. Maybe you don't want everybody, but just try to hopefully it, you know, and it's like a domino effect. We're seeing like we don't have to have this lack of healthcare. We have the ability, you know, with all of these loans to do better things with it, to make things easier. We could actually have leadership that was we could have leadership that would also have room to be shady on the side if they want to, but they could be helping us out too, you know, like it doesn't have to be a full on smash and grab all the time. And I just hope people see what's happening with that. And, well, let's not do this again. You know, I think a lot of people lost their parents and, you know, a lot of close loved ones. And I think they're going to remember that and say, let's not do that again.
All right. Well, we're done with the oral history. Thank you very much for participating.
Thank you.
All right, I'm going to stop recording.